I can't explain how God makes cars run without gasoline and airplanes fly without wings and things like that. But, and I'm not saying they do, but God can do it. He's supernatural. Amen. Sister Holly Janke, you had one. I'd just like to ask you if you've ever seen a miracle. We haven't colluded on this, you know, so. In other words, we didn't talk beforehand and make this all up. I don't even know what he's going to say. I just looked at him and I felt attracted there. Was there anybody else that had their hand up that wanted to? Yeah, Dale Lunderville. That's a miracle. Huh? Praise the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord applause. I'll let you go. Got one in mind?
I think all of us as Christians, we ought to experience these things all the time. And I think if you all think back in your life, that you will see different times that the Lord has done something supernatural for you. And I was thinking, as everybody was testifying, the different times that the Lord has done something supernatural in my life. And sometimes we forget about it. But anyhow, I remember the Lord has healed me definitely two different times, just supernaturally. But anyhow, we were, Sister Jane Schlageter, she's sitting over there, I don't think I had met her yet, but we were supposed to go to her house to meet her to teach her a Bible study. And I don't even remember how we got her name, but she lived in Chippewa. I was running late, and it was probably about 8 o'clock, and the sun was going down at night, and so anyhow, I got my wife, and I said, "You got the address, right?" And we jumped in the car, and she said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Do you have a telephone number?" She said, "No, I don't." And all I remembered was that she lived someplace in Chippewa by McDonald's. My wife said, "Well, we can't go." And I said, "We're going to pray, and we're going to go." So we prayed. We drove there. We drove behind McDonald's. We drove up one street. We drove down another. And there was somebody standing in the door. And I stopped, and I said, "I'll bet you that's her." So we went up there, and sure enough, it was her. And we went in that night, and I hope she doesn't mind me telling that, but at that time, Jane and Mark were divorced. And I don't think that she had saw Mark for a long time. That night, Mark was there. And I thought that was God's hand. That was supernatural. We met Mark. I remember him going over to McDonald's to buy us some coffee and brought it back, and we really had a good time, and that's how that we got to meet them. But I really believe that was a miracle that God gave us, because I had no idea where to go. All I knew is that I was going to pray and I was going to go. And so.
Amen. You know what? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, Brother Klickner? Thank you very much. Well, this is exciting. Well, we got to go on. But anyway, John Osteen said, "I was taught," this Baptist, "I was taught that the day of miracles was over." He says, "One day, however, I discovered there never was a day of miracles, but there is a God of miracles, and he never changes. Praise the Lord." So I guess that's our answer in a nutshell. Okay, maybe Brother Dane Sternecker, when he comes up here after I'm finished tonight, to take the prayer requests, and maybe he can sing a song about the mighty God we serve, or I don't care which song it is, "What a Mighty God We Serve," or "Awesome God," whichever. Okay, now I want to talk about the sixth listed gift in 1 Corinthians 12, and that is prophecy, and this is going to take a little longer, but I'll start out with a young man from our church right here visited a relative's church in another city. He was planning a trip to another state. And the other pastor prophesied. Personal prophecy. He prophesied over him. And he said, if you make this trip, you will have a serious accident. He came to me. He belonged to this church. He visited another church. The pastor of the church that he visited said, thus saith the Lord, with more zeal than I'm saying it, you know, thus saith the Lord, do not make this trip. If you make this trip, you will have a serious accident and all kinds of terrible things would happen. So he came to me and he asked me what he should do. Anybody know what I said? I said, go. Take the trip. Prove this man a false prophet. Okay? We're going to talk about prophecy. I just said, go, 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 go. Well, he made the trip. And I wasn't nervous at all. My pulse rate didn't increase at all. Everything was all right. He took the trip. He came back. No problem. No accident. Everything was just fine. Okay? So, that made that man a false prophet to me. Just a false prophet. Just maybe drawing attention to himself. Getting somebody to fear him instead of God. Okay. Now, how did I have the boldness to do that? Well, as we progress here, I'll tell you. Story. I was a young man during the time of the so-called Latter Rain Revival. And to be honest, the Latter Rain Revival in about 1948 or so, it began in sincerity and it appeared to be very spiritual, but they began to misuse and abuse certain gifts of the Holy Ghost. There was a man named Stanley Frodsham. He was a high official in the Assemblies of God. He spoke, and I loved that man. I loved him, and his message was absolutely wonderful and spiritual and scriptural. And when he finished, another preacher arose and, under the guise of prophesying, ridiculed Stanley Frodsham's message. You know what I did about that? I quit attending those meetings. I just quit attending those meetings. That was the end of it for me. I don't care for that stuff. I don't care for that at all. Have you ever had someone say to you, I had a dream about you? And I say, what'd you eat before you went to bed? I had a dream about you. Most people are quite interested in what people say or think about them. Huh? Aren't they? Sure. That's why they go to fortune tellers. That's why they go to this, all these other things, you know. So, but now the bait is alluring. And the dreamer or the prophet becomes your mentor or spiritual advisor. Of course, he's self-appointed. Have I ever told anybody here not to take a trip because they'd have an accident? Raise your hand. Have I ever told anybody here some supernatural thing? No hands. Okay. Okay. The greatest service I can do for that false dreamer is to respond quickly with, don't even bother to tell me. It's not of God. It's not of God. That doesn't mean that we don't have the gift of prophecy, and that doesn't mean that personal prophecies are not valid. We'll see that in a few minutes here, if we get that far. So, God's not going to give me a dream about you without talking to you first. Right? Well, I'll just say it. That's right. I'll say it. God's not going to shock and surprise you with something that he showed me about you. I don't like that. I don't like that. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So preparations were made for the journey. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have not eaten anything that is common or unclean. Then follows the story of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon the Gentiles. You see, God had talked to Cornelius and he talked to Peter. God coordinated the whole thing. He didn't shock Cornelius with Peter going there and saying, blah, blah, blah. No. God talked to him and God talked to Peter. And that's the way it was. That's the way it worked. Amen. Do you remember a long time ago, honey, at Becky's Cafeteria in Minneapolis, Clayton Sonmore's wife, and we were talking about somebody that we had witnessed to, and we were asking questions like, how do you know? How do you know? These people were older than us at that time and more experienced than we were at that time. They're probably dead and gone by now. Must be. But anyway, they told us, and they're absolutely right. We've never forgotten it, and I hope you never forget what I'm preaching tonight. But they told us that if God talks to one person, he's already talking to the other person. He's not going to tell you something that you're supposed to listen to and obey just because they said God talked to them and told them about you. That is utter foolishness. Utter foolishness. You can write it off. But when God talks to you and talks to that one at the same time, you see, when Brother Clickner went up to Chippewa and forgot the address book and the telephone number, and neither one of them had it, and here they are up there, and here God talked to Jane. I don't know if he said it in an audible voice, but he talked to Jane to go to this store, and they were there at the store, whatever. It works on both ends. When God is involved, he's not a cheater. He's not a spook. He doesn't do that. Amen. So how does one know if it is God speaking? Now I'll tell you a story about myself after a while, if we get time. Did God speak or deal with both parties involved? That's one of the tests that you can put a personal prophecy to. Does it exalt the Lord Jesus? Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. My wife knows that this verse, Revelation 19:10, has been dear and powerful to me for many, many years. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, if a person prophesies and it doesn't testify of Jesus, it is not of God. All right. So the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It will testify of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say when the Holy Ghost comes, that's the spirit, that he will testify of me? Sure he did. And that's how you judge prophecies. Then am I willing to be judged? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. I had to deal with a situation in our church some years ago regarding house meetings. And am I free? don't want to embarrass anybody, but a great family in our church was having house meetings, wonderful meetings. I was always invited and welcome to attend, which is the way it should be. The master of this house was a very ethical, respectful person. One of you, right here tonight. And some people said, wow, these house meetings are better than our church services. Have you ever heard that? If you've been here a long time, you have. And I saw red flags immediately. I said to myself, that's just what the devil wants. That's just what the devil wants. He wants to make the house meeting better than the church service so that we can reach less people. There aren't many people that have good house meetings, you know. There are some people that are extremely qualified. But if you're going to, Jesus said, I'll build my church, not my coffee house, and not just my house meeting. The Lord wants a church, okay? So I dealt with it, and here's the way I did it. I discovered that one of our precious sisters was giving tongues and interpretations and prophecies. And after much prayer and asking God for wisdom to handle what I thought could become a major problem, I brought up the issue to both the homeowner and the sister. She said, but Brother Tanberg, I'm afraid to be used in the gifts of the Spirit in the church where there are so many people. And I think that that's natural. I think that most of us would feel that way. But I encouraged her to prophesy in the church where the whole body gathers. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. And I told her, the whole church, not just those attending a small house meeting, the whole church needs to be edified and exhorted and comforted. Amen? I also explain 1 Corinthians 14:29, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. My point is, some new saints, especially new saints, are really on fire for God. And sometimes they become intolerant of those that are not really excited about Jesus anymore. Hello? You know, some people that have walked with Jesus and they've got themselves established in the church and in the kingdom of God and in the Word of God, they just get a little bit, they just lose a little zeal sometimes. We need that new convert zeal. And Paul said to the Romans, he said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So I'm making an application here. This is not the primary interpretation, of which the scripture has one primary interpretation and many applications. So I make an application here. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And that is some of us. Some new converts, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And somebody said that when some people get the Holy Ghost, they need to be locked up for 6 months. They're dangerous. And then others have said that some of the older saints need to be set free. You know? So I deal with the old and the young. And I think I understand. We that have the knowledge of God should not lose the zeal of God. And we that have the zeal of God, because we're new converts, should not fail to gain the knowledge of God. Does that make sense? Okay. So sometimes they become intolerant about older saints that are not real excited about Jesus anymore, and so they just soon have church service without them because we're spiritual. They don't realize that they haven't even learned to tithe yet, or they're afraid to tithe, and it's these older folks that are merely pew warmers, you know, and I love pew warmers, believe me. I don't like cold pews. They don't realize that it's those dead, unzealous, old folks that they're paying the light bill, and they're paying the heat bill, and they're paying for the repairs and all that, while the rest of them come in with all their zeal, and they haven't learned to do that yet. But my, for heaven's sake, and I mean that literally, why not keep your zeal and learn how to tithe and learn the ways of God and keep your zeal? Don't let tithes kill you. One of the young saints said when the offering plate, the spiritual meeting going on, one of the offering plate was passed around. Oh, there that pastor goes again. Taking up an offering. Right when the spirit's fallen, man, he kills the spirit. And the wise old pastor said, that's the spirit we want killed. That selfish, non-giving spirit. That's the spirit we want killed. We want you to keep worship. You know what they do in Spencer, Iowa, when they take, as soon as Brother Hodges says, would the ushers come? Everybody gets so happy. We get to obey God and give. Really, I'm telling you the truth. You ought to go down there if you don't. I know you believe me. Okay, so, but, so here's what they'll do. They have zeal, no knowledge. They'll call their spiritual friends over. Now, that was not this case. Please believe me. But they'll call their spiritual friends over for spiritual gatherings at their house. And I have spoken to the church regarding this in years past. We need the excited ones right in church. We need the people that are bold enough in the Holy Ghost to give a message in tongues and interpretation and to give a prophecy. And somebody will judge it righteously. I'll tell you some more. Okay. But the devil wants to get you out there without a pastor to lead you and guide you. That's just what the devil wants. Get you out there where you're prey for the devil. Another one, 4. Does it exalt either the prophet or the one being prophesied over? No, it's a false prophecy or a false prophet if it brings attention to you instead of to the Lord Jesus. You can just figure that. It's not evil. It doesn't mean you're going to hell because you prophesied that. I don't mean that at all. It just means that, and I got to carry on. There's so many things here to talk about. Okay, holy living exalts Jesus. We're talking about the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Here's another test by which to judge a prophecy or a prophet. Know them by their fruits. Hey, if the guy's living in adultery and he's prophesying, would you say that's of God? You shall know them by their fruits. I'd say he's a false prophet. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, and don't anybody tell me you don't know what the will of God is. If you've got one of these books, this is the will of God right here. You've got the will of God. Amen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I don't care how many times you said, thus saith the Lord. They're false. They're false. In San Antonio, one of these last two trips that we made there, January 2000, I wrote the date now. I was at Brother Bell's missionary conference, and one of these prophets came up, and Brother Warren, Frank Warren, and Nola Warren, they were there, and we love those people. So how many of you remember them? Yeah, you do, a few of you. We just love those people, and we still do. They're just precious people. They want us to come to Mexico so bad. But a man came by. We were sitting in the foyer, Brother Warren and myself, and he came by, and he and his wife was standing there, and he said to Brother Warren, very respectful and ethical, so he said, I have a prophecy for your wife, do you mind? Frank Warren responded, go right ahead, Brother Tanberg and I will judge it. It was quick and sweet, short and sweet and gone. But see, that's the way. That's the way it should be. I have a prophecy for you. May I prophesy over you? Then get some more people there that can judge it. Wait till I get into tongues interpretation. A lot of this on prophecy will become clearer. So let me relate a few prophecies, and you judge them right now. You're sitting here. I'll tell you some experiences that I've had, and you judge the prophecy. See how good a judge you are. If I ask you... I'll ask you maybe three prophecies. You judge, you keep score for yourself, and tell me if you get 100, or if you get 66, or you get 33 on your test. Okay? I personally know, my wife and I personally know a beautiful woman who was prophesied over and told that she would be given all 9 gifts of the Spirit. I balked at that prophecy, because I happen to know that she was living with a man outside of marriage. And if she had all nine gifts of the Spirit, they were never manifested in my acquaintance with her. Okay, now don't answer. I won't ask for hands or anything, but how many of you think that she was a true prophet, or that this person was a true prophet, and that she would have all nine gifts of the Spirit? Or no? Okay, score yourself. Story. Two women in the church of a friend of mine don't like each other. I got a hunch one of them was here at one time. She didn't like this other woman, and she stood up and prophesied and said, "Thou thinkest that thou art a humdinger. Thou art not a humdinger. Thus saith the Lord." Put that in your pipe and smoke it. That's word for word. Now you judge it. You're either going to flunk this one or pass it. So. Another story. How many of you got, don't raise your hand. How many of you got 66 so far? You, okay. I received a personal prophecy in the mail on April 18, 1987. I typed it out here because it's easier to read than handwriting. And by no means am I making fun of it, but I am asking you to be the judge of it. It was a personal prophecy over me. Quote, "My son, I love you. Your heart is right before me. You have walked well before me. Now I want to bless you. So come to my throne and declare whatever you please." Isaiah 43:26 was inserted. "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. I want to restore anything that you have lost. I want to give you the desires of your heart. When a man's ways please me, I will make even his enemies to be at peace with him." Now that's Bible. "You have pleased me. You have served me well. You have gladdened my heart. Now it will be my great pleasure to reward you. Come into my throne room. Come boldly. Sit with me. Talk with me, for I want to bless you. My heart longs to bless you and to see you enjoying what I bestow. So come. Let us talk together. Think on these things, and then let us talk together. Ask well, ask largely. I will grant the deepest desires of your heart, for I wish to restore and bless your life. Let me do this for you, for I appreciate your faithfulness, and I love you dearly." Don't anybody raise your hand, but I would really like to know how many of you think that was of God and how many of you think it wasn't of God, and your reason for thinking it was of God and your reason for not thinking it was of God. That'd be very interesting to me, but I'm not going to ask that. I'll just tell you what I think. I personally do not believe that this particular prophecy was of God. Neither do I believe it was of the devil. I believe that she loved me and that this was her human spirit being expressed. And it's wonderful to have people love you that much. That's what I believe. Okay. How many got 100? Good for you. Okay. I could say something, couldn't I? Couldn't I? Perhaps there are at least three sources of prophecy. The Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and an evil or lying spirit. Okay, I'll go through them. Well, the Holy Spirit, obviously we understand that as a source. The human spirit. Let me read from Jeremiah 23. "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets," Jeremiah cries out. Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 16. "All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man with whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up and their course is evil and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness they shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the province of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hand of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. So when I said there are three sources, at least three sources of prophecy, the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, and an evil spirit, okay, the human spirit can do that. And there is a lot of that going on. You don't have to be afraid of it, but don't believe it. Just say, thank you. You must really love me. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me. See, I wish I had the oratorical ability to just make this pleasant and drill it into our hearts. See, here's what it is. They speak a vision of their own heart. This is what some of these visions of their own heart is. I want to live with this woman without being responsible like a married person is. I want to rob the bank so I can have some money. I want his car. I want his wife. I want his house. And so they speak a vision of their own heart, and they'll prophesy. They'll prophesy. I just read somebody else's mail today about one who told a pastor's saints without the pastor knowing it. He was a prophet going from church to church, and he said, well, it's all right to lie if it's for the good. The pastor supernaturally got a hold of that and ripped into that man. Told him, it's a lie and all liars are going to the lake of fire. Put on your asbestos suit, buddy. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me. Okay, here's God's word. This is God's word. They're saying to people who don't obey the Lord, who don't have a love for the truth, who despise the Lord, they say, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Boy, that makes people feel good. When the devil comes around and says, women, you can dress any way you want. You can even go naked. That's not holiness. Holiness is in the heart. What do you think? I don't believe it. I think they're lying prophets. I think the Bible says, clothe yourselves so that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Boy, you'd be surprised the people that are amassing prophets, false prophets, to prophesy for them that all these things are okay. Everything's okay. You can go to the movie house. You can watch anything you want on TV. Well, you can go on the internet and watch pornography. Nothing's wrong anymore. And the prophets will tell you that. See? That's just what we said here. Those that despise me, you shall have peace. And no evil shall come upon you. You can be sure that's a false prophet. When God's word says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Ezekiel 13. 1, 2, and 3. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Nothing from me. I haven't shown them anything. But they'll do it anyway. I've even heard of campaigns, healing campaigns, or, and this should be on the subject of healing, but I've even heard of healing campaigns where the healer, the man who was the healer, he'd come to town and he had other people. Then he'd say, anybody blind here? And he'd call them forth and he'd pray for them, and you know how they pray. Be healed. man screams and dances, and the place goes wild. The guy never was blind. The other one never was deaf. There is the real gift of healing. There is the real. When people are blind, they're healed. When people are deaf, they're healed. God is the healer. There's no doubt about that. But hey, we don't have to resort to trickery and fraud and things like that. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is a source of prophecy, and that's the real. The human spirit, that's not real. Just probably some zeal without knowledge, especially. But the Lord says, woe unto you anyway. And then an evil or lying spirit, 2 Kings 2:2, beginning at verse 2:2. 22, verse 22. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. So there are lying spirits. Not that God is, but this is what he said. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil. You have to understand that. Now, what I'm trying to prove here, what I'm showing here, is that there are prophets that have a lying spirit. And they're not hard to fake, are they? They're not hard to duplicate. I mean, you can fake that. You can fake a lying spirit. You can fake a human spirit. But you can't fake the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there are so many things that could be true in personal prophecies, just like the one given over me. But, and I say, be careful when they say that God is pleased with you and is now going to reward you. That's in God's hands. But it smacks too much of the blab it and grab it, name it and claim it doctrine, you know. I say, what about those saints whose lives were pleasing to the Lord? And then in old age, like Polycarp, they were called to martyrdom. 80-some years old, Polycarp standing at the stake ready to be burned. Recant and we'll untie you and set you free. Put the fire out. Recant. Deny that you believe in Jesus as your Savior. He said 80 and so many years, or 80 and 2 years or something, have I served him. He has never wronged me once. How then can I deny he who shed his blood for me? Something like that. And he died. Oh, hallelujah. What about the Apostle Paul? You know, if I was going to go to a service where some prophets were prophesying, and they prophesy over everybody, just good, 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 wonderful things. You know, you'll never have a stomach ache. You'll never have a headache. You'll never have a toothache. You'll never have a sore back. You'll never have you're just going to have all nine gifts of the Spirit. You're going to be holy, healthy. Wholly, holy, healthy, all your life. Nothing will ever go wrong. And I'm going to build you a mansion on earth, and I'm going to get you a brand new car or a fleet of them. And everything's wonderful. You know, I'd have a tendency to, doubt that. But if I went to a place and they said, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt suffer shipwreck. Thou shalt be beaten with rods. What was the prophecy over the Apostle Paul? What was it? I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, there's a true prophecy. There's a true prophecy. Sometimes we like the nice ones, and we don't like the ones that are true. Might be true. Okay? False prophets. I just want to expose false prophets. This strong warning comes from the lips of Jesus himself. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. The Apostle Peter gave this clear warning. Wherefore I, that's 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. What a prophecy Jesus gave about Peter. Peter, when you were young, you did what you wanted to. When you're old, they're going to tie you up, crucify you upside down. Moreover, I will, and that's tradition now. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. That's on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because this is Peter writing, and it was Peter, James, and John that accompanied him to the Mount. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. And on that Mount of Transfiguration, a voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Wow. That tells us a lot. Then he goes on into the next chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people. And then he says, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. More sure word of prophecy, and that's the written word. Oh, I love my Bible. Anybody got a Bible that they'd wave here? I just love my Bible. I thank God for my Bible. Praise the Lord. If you don't carry it on your body, carry it in your heart. Only three men heard the voice from heaven, and only three men saw the miraculous transfiguration of Jesus: Peter, James, and John. But the apostles' writings are written for all to read. Hallelujah. Pastors will publish church bulletins, and they pass them around. They want everybody to read them. He doesn't tell one person. A pastor doesn't tell one person and say, "Would you pass the word and tell everybody else?"